Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohan, and again this week, sitting across from me is Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
We are tired.
Tired, but feeling good, right?
Absolutely. So we are, this is the last, literally the last morning we're going to be in New Orleans as we're recording this. we both of us leave here in just a little bit. So we just had our authors on a train trip. Last night was the last night with the group. We're going to talk about just kind of some reflections on that today and, you know, some of the stuff we learned and such. So it should be a good time. Like I've always said, these shows where we're in front of each other is always really fun. Real quick before we get to that, we just want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by patreon.com/thecareerauthor and all our wonderful patrons over there. And just to remind you that, if you want to, for as little as a dollar a month, you too can support the podcast, and you will get access to, our bonus episodes, which include our movie analysis we do every month. This month we're doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Next month we'll be doing a Christmas movie. We're going to have a 6-way poll for that, which you can put your vote in for if you're a patron. We also do our Amazon product page makeover every month, where we look at one of our patrons' Amazon pages and just kind of judge the marketability of their book based on their cover, their product description, their keywords, all that good stuff. So if you want access to all that, there's a lot of other stuff too that you'll see on there. You could check out patreon.com/thecareerauthor. So I think that's about it for our intro.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. We're gonna kind of skip the ways and hacks this week because we kind of want to do a little bit of a deep reflective discussion about this trip. And I think it's an important takeaway that the things we're gonna talk about would apply to the career author, whether you're on a retreat, whether you have a partner, whether you're sitting in your house trying to figure out what you're gonna do with 2019. These are sort of higher level reflections that you know, we're going to use this trip and our experience as an example, but I think there's a lot to take away from these. So if you're, I mentioned that on the top because if you're thinking like, well, I wasn't on the trip or I'm not interested in it, and so this episode doesn't apply to me, I think we're going to try and make it as applicable as possible to everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was kind of, you mentioned we're sort of tired but excited. I get in this phase after an event where I have this really deep sense of gratitude and satisfaction while being completely exhausted. And I think it's important to note too that, you know, out of the two of us, I'm certainly tending more towards introvert most of the time than you. And, you know, on paper, if you look at sort of a classic Myers-Briggs, you know, this is not the type of event that would recharge an introvert. But, because you and I have spent every minute together for the past 7 days.
Pretty much, yeah.
And we've been with our wonderful attendees almost nonstop, whether it's in classroom setting or social settings or one-on-one mentorship and coaching. And it's been fantastic. And I'm exhausted, but I've just been so also sort of recharged from those. And I think that's sort of one of the initial takeaways I had is that I'm finding, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, that I'm finding that whether I'm running it or participating in it, that these sort of intimate, smaller, more niche, personalized experiences seem to be way more fulfilling than sort of bigger events.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and I love, you know, I think the bigger conferences are a lot of fun, and they definitely have their benefit. For sure, you know, and you get to meet a lot of other people and stuff, but, you know, being these smaller intimate events where, you know, we're basically in this, like, I don't want to call it a classroom, I guess kind of like a conference room, and, you know, cause we're not lecturing, like they turn into almost more open discussions,
right?
You know, and you know, people asking questions, other attendees, you know, giving their two cents, like what's worked for them, what hasn't, you know. And it's almost like, I don't want to say it's like a mastermind, but it's like, it's something that you're not going to get at a conference in a room full of people. And especially when we're doing story, we're going over our story ideas, and everyone's like, you know, even we did our story meeting, and like everyone's like feeding us ideas and stuff. Like that's just, it's just a totally different thing, you know. And mm-hmm. and so you know, and we get to go to you have the opportunity to go to dinner with the same people every night, and like you really get to know people other than just like work in a room giving your business card out or whatever, and maybe you'll email them later on. So
right.
So yeah, I really, really have enjoyed when we do these really intimate events like this, for sure.
Yeah, it's really, generally speaking, it's about going deep instead of wide.
Absolutely.
That's the approach. And I think it was Cameron who even mentioned in our conversation that it felt like a really intense mastermind.
Yeah.
And I think that was really validating for us, because that's sort of how we wanted to deliver this.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, you know, I have a long history in education, and straight up lecture is probably the worst learning modality that there is, because it only applies to about 3% of the population who learn that way.
Yeah.
So I think sort of building in sort of an experience where it's both collaborative and hands-on and engaging, and we tried to mix it up. I mean, there were times we sort of stood and delivered information. There were times where we did group exercises. We did a group critique. We did experiential stuff. We had, you know, free time. But we could do that because when you have a group of 6 or 7 or 8 people, you can deliver exactly what they need. And I think on the other end of that, as I move into 2019 and I think about moving forward, those are the kind of things that I want to seek out as well. You know, I think there are some really incredible people out there who are doing things that are in small groups that are mastermind-like. And I feel like that's probably where I'm going to learn the most and make the most progress in my career is sort of learning in those small groups of people that sort of have a common mission or a shared mission.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I think for me, like those are the types of things that I would prefer to seek out as well. So,
yes, yeah. Yes. And that's sort of a nice segue into sort of the second idea, the second bullet point that I was thinking about this, which was, you know, we from these little trips from Authors on a Train and from Night of the Writing Dead, our goal is to publish an anthology. But the reason, the why we're publishing the anthology is for the shared mission. It's about having the power and the motivation to work towards something together.
Absolutely.
It's not about the outcome. Like whether it sells X number of books or makes X number of dollars is completely irrelevant. And that conversation really never even came up this week.
Yeah,
because I think our attendees realize that the value is in the process.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are tons of writing retreats. And you and I have talked about this privately, about sort of what is our secret sauce? Like, what do we bring to the writer's retreat space that might be different from what other people are doing? And I think what it is that we do a lot of engaging collaborative stuff with a shared mission. So there's nothing wrong with this, but there are a lot of writer's retreats where you go and you write together in a room, but you're writing your own shit, and whether you write 20 words or 200 words, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right?
And that's great, because you can learn how to brainstorm, you can learn how to outline, you can learn how to draft, how to revise, and you can have sessions. But at the end of the event, you kind of go your own way, and that's that.
Yeah.
I think what's really cool about ours is that we are working towards this anthology. And I think if I'm going to attend smaller events, I would want sort of I hate to call it a goal, because you know how I feel about goals, but a target of some sort.
Yeah.
I want to work towards something. And
yeah.
You know what our people are going to be doing now is they're going to be going off, but their sort of work is almost just beginning in a way, because they're going to write, edit, revise, and submit a story for the anthology, and we're going to publish that. And so I think that's a piece that I've realized that whatever we do, that seems to be an important component of it.
I think for us too, like the other kinds of writing retreat you mentioned, you know, like I think there can be a lot of value in those for certain people. Like I would be interested in going to a writing retreat like that, where I just go hang out with other authors and write my own stuff. But that's not necessarily what we want to do, you know. And But I think a lot of that too, like just to toot your horn for a second, is your teaching background. Like you have this teaching background that is, I mean, you present information in a better way than most people I see trying to teach this stuff. You just do because you've got, you know, your that extensive background. Mm-hmm. And I think if we weren't using that and like, you know, trying to, and teaching people how to do something and having a goal at the end, you know, to hit, then I don't think we'd be using our strengths as best we could, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, of course. Like, and so, you know, and I don't think that when you go to a writing retreat where everyone's just in their work, like, I'm sure some of them, like, you know, there is, like, teaching going on and stuff by, like, maybe the person who's leading it or whatever, but it's just a different thing from what we're doing, you know? And that's okay. Like, it's, sure. It's just different, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah, I just want to throw that in there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, it's also, too, we've talked about this in other places, but there's also, you have to be aware, if you're looking to attend some of these types of events, that experts don't usually make the best teachers. They can, but being an expert at something or a professional at something and being able to teach it to other people are two totally different skill sets. And, you know, I think there, I don't want to call anything out by name, but I know there are writers' events and experiences that are led by some of the best people in their field or their niche of publishing or writing or whatever it happens to be, but it's like an info dump, you know. It's, and that may or may not be useful, and that's not necessarily good teaching. So it doesn't diminish what that person has accomplished, but being able to help other people learn how to do it is completely different.
Well, look at, like, I'll give you an example. Like, what, Michael Jordan never coached a basketball team.
Right.
You know, like Magic Johnson did, but he had very little success. Mm-hmm. You know, but like Larry Bird, like, was a great player, and he was a coach, but he was good, and he probably because he's probably a better teacher than Michael Jordan.
Right.
You know.
Right. Same with Wayne Gretzky. I mean, best hockey player who ever lived, but yeah, never coached. You know, that wasn't.
That's, well, he different... did, but he didn't have a lot of success.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a different thing.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And, you know, in those, this is a sort of the third idea, in those sort of coaching moments that we had, and we're not going to reveal anything personal because we had some really personal talks with
Absolutely,
these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what happens is the more you listen and the less you talk, I think the more you can help people.
Absolutely.
And I think we discovered or validated our belief that a lot of times in client work, what people want to talk about is not what they need.
Yeah.
You know, so people come with a certain, like, well, I want to discuss this with you, and it's usually very tactical or it's very practical, and it doesn't take long to get to the underlying concern or issue or worry. And that happened with every single person we talked to. It started, and it started one way, and then it went, and we had people who were, you know, red-faced and taking notes, and people who were biting their lip, and people who were tearing up, and these were because we were really kind of getting into the heart of, like, why are you doing this? Like, what do you want out of your life? And that's you're not going to get that in a big setting. You're not going to get that in a conference room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the, you know, the level of satisfaction for me is not so much like putting out an online course and someone watches it and publish a book. I mean, that's great, but it's like these moments where we're helping people navigate their future.
Yeah.
You know, like that's so powerful, and it feels so good to be able to do that.
You know, what's funny about what you just said is how many times this week when we were talking about StoryCraft and we were talking about StoryGrid and stuff, how many times did you say what your protagonist wants is almost never what they need?
Yes.
And you basically, and literally we had one-on-ones with attendees, like, where, you know, they came to us like wanting us to talk about their whole like book marketing plan, and then like
which we did but
it was a very small part of the conversation, because once they started talking, it was like, that's not what you want to talk about.
Right.
That's not what you need to talk about.
Right.
There's something else under the surface. So it was,
yeah,
yeah, it was really, really interesting.
And whether whether you're doing coaching or client work, or you are hiring someone to do it, I think the indicator there is questions.
Yeah.
You should be asking questions, or you should make sure you have the ability to ask questions.
Yeah.
Because that's where the gold lies.
Absolutely.
Someone who's just going to talk at you all the time, that's probably not going to be helpful. They have an agenda, or they think they know what you need, and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see it over and over again the more we talk to people.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Related to that, and I think this is something that we heard, and we know, but we also heard this from our attendees, is that you can't necessarily just transplant what someone else is doing into your system and expect it to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there are a lot of there's a lot of sort of internet marketing author services now where it feels turnkey. Like, well, you just buy this solution and you plug it in and then you get these results. And I don't see that ever working. I mean, no. Nothing has ever worked for me that way. I think what you learn from that. So like what you do is you take the system or the process that's presented and you tweak it or you change it or you try it or you innovate on it, and then it becomes yours. But there, no two paths are ever the same. And I know like this is not like a big revelation for anyone, but it was just apparent again when we're working and we're able to work so closely with these six or seven or eight people, depending on, you know, which trip we're talking about. And people say like, oh yeah, that's really good. I never thought of that. But for mine, I'm going to also do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to get that from a webinar. You're not going to get that from an online course. You're not going to get that from a big conference room. Again, it comes back to this idea of whether you're participating in it or leading it, being part of a small, passionate group with a shared focus really makes a difference.
And, you know, we've done a lot of stuff and we've tried a lot of different between the two of us, even before we got together and started collaborating and having this partnership we have. And it goes back to, you know, what we talk about, how the Kevin Kelly 10,000 hours, that was Kevin Kelly, right?
So it
was
that's it. Malcolm Gladwell.
No, sorry. Malcolm,
he's
no,
a thousand true fans.
He's a thousand true fans. Yeah. Right? I get those mixed up, but yeah, Malcolm Gladwell and his 10,000 hours. Like, we strongly feel like, especially when we're deep diving on stuff like this, and it's not just us like glazing over the top, like you can really cut into that 10,000 hours and borrow that. Like, and I saw that this week. I saw like that our attendees were borrowing a lot of that from us, yeah. You know, and you know, seeing the way we outline and being able to adjust that, or seeing how we've done this one, you know, marketing thing, or how we've launched books, or, you know, even some of the stuff we told them that we're doing next year that we haven't told anybody else, you know,
right.
It's like, you know, I really feel like, and you say that a lot, how you feel like you can borrow those 10,000 hours. And I really feel like that's 100% true.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a little bit of a tangent, but, something I think it's worth mentioning. We're not doing this authors on a train. We're not doing any authors on a train trip in 2019. We had already decided that.
Yeah.
We might do one in 2020, but it's not going to be this one.
Yeah.
We're not going to go Chicago to New Orleans and stay here for a week. We're definitely not doing that. We don't know if we'll ever do this one again. But I wanted to mention that because I felt really strongly, and I'm glad that like you sort of allowed me the rope to do this, but I feel really strongly that anything you try as an author, from something very small and tactical to something very big and strategic, you almost have to do it exactly the same way twice, at least, before you have any idea if it works or not.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of authors who, you know, they'll read a blog post or they'll see something and they try it once and they're like, it didn't work for me. And I think that's a really dangerous place to be, because you end up, you never really know, you know. Even something like at this scale, this is the biggest thing we do between the two of us, authors on a train. And we did the exact same trip this year that we did last year. Now, we changed the programming, and our talks changed over the past year, and our presentations changed, of course. But the general structure was identical. And now, I think, having the feedback that from last year's group and this year's group, now that's really going to help us take authors on a train to the next place.
Absolutely.
And if had we just done one, or even if we had done the same one but changed the location or changed the route, it wouldn't have been the same feedback.
No, absolutely.
So the caveat to that is, if last year's had been a complete disaster, we wouldn't have repeated it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we didn't hear that, you know. Yeah. So I think if it's not a complete disaster, trying it twice the exact same way, I think, is, or maybe even three times if you can. Like, I know in teaching, a lot of teachers say that the third time they teach something is optimal, because The first time you don't know what you're doing. The second time allows you to either validate or change what you're doing, and the third time is kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's worth in your author journey to, if you're going to try something, do it at least twice.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, because the feedback we got from last year and this year was great, and like you said, will help us kind of form. Because I don't think Authors on Train is done. We're just not doing it next year. So
right.
We're just gonna, do it a little different and make it kind of a little bit different thing next time. So.
And now we know how to make it different based on what people said.
Absolutely.
And people said some of the same things last year that they said this year. So that's really helpful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if we shift and kind of wrap up with a few more just like really practical things, this I think is, again, something to keep in mind if you're hosting an event or attending one. I think location really matters.
Yeah.
I think it really does. I'll use this trip as an example. New Orleans is one of our favorite places in the world.
Yeah.
I could see myself living here, so I'm certainly biased. But I also recognize it's a bit gritty. It's kind of dirty. There are parts of it that are not safe. When you go outside the French Quarter, there's poverty and there are issues. So I don't want to gloss over that. At the same time, this is... by coincidence, this is the 300th anniversary of the founding of the city, but there's a history and a culture and an energy here, especially for artists. It's undeniable.
Absolutely.
And I think when our attendees get out into the city, they feel that. And I think it gets reflected in the work. I think it's reflected in their passion that they bring. And like, this is not meant to be at any particular conference or situation, because a lot of them take place here, but I feel the complete opposite about Vegas.
Yeah.
I've been to Vegas. The weather's nice. It's okay, but it's kind of fabricated and plastic to me, and it doesn't feel inspirational. And I think if you're doing an event where the location matters, you know, you can have a big buffet and casinos and big bright lights and nice marquee and neon, but like, I don't find that inspirational. I think places like New Orleans, where it's a real place and it's got real culture and real history, even if it's kind of gritty and dirty at times, I think it's so much more rich.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of, I mean, and there's other logistical factors that go into it as well. Like, you know, everyone's been able to walk everywhere. All
yes.
week. I mean, you can walk anywhere in the city. Like, once you're down here, you don't really have to get a car to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, it's not a super expensive city to come down to. The weather, you know, unless you come in the summer, the weather's usually pretty good, even though we've had some cold weather this week, which is rare for New Orleans. But it's just an awesome city with a lot of character. So, and it is very inspiring. You know, there's artists all over the street here. I mean,
all the time.
There was a guy who was sitting there with a typewriter saying, pick a topic and I write about you.
Yeah, poems for strangers.
Poems for strangers.
Right on the corner.
yeah. So I think one of our detainees was joking that she got her book description done there.
Yeah.
So, you know, from one of them. But it's just a different city with a different vibe, and location definitely matters.
Yeah, and it's not just musicians. I think that's what's important to note too about New Orleans. Like you think jazz and blues and music, but it's so much more than that.
I mean,
the whole end of the French Quarter where we're staying, there's just shop after shop of art galleries and coffee shops and New Orleans isn't the only city, of course. I mean, there are other wonderful destination
Absolutely.
Cities. Like I think of ones that I've visited. Like I think Boston is a great example of a city that's like walkable and has history and culture and sort of an energy there. New York City, of course. I mean, Chicago. You know, there's a lot of places that have just a really deep, rich history and culture, and that matters.
Absolutely, can't agree more.
Yeah, and then on a really personal note, I wanted to kind of finish with this one and just give a shout out. To our friend Christopher. I think both of us were reintroduced to mind mapping on this trip and have really looked to sort of incorporate that into our books and our planning and our business structure. And you know, we'll I think you're going to be hearing more from about Christopher's work through us, because we just found it so incredibly valuable, and all of our attendees did as well. And you know, we gave him an hour time slot to present to the rest of the attendees, and I just couldn't believe, like, I don't know, the timing was right. You know, I've been using mind mapping in the classroom for decades, but like, it didn't hit me until I saw the way he presented it.
Exactly. It's one of those things that I've wanted to use for a long time, and I've tried, but I always go away from it. But it really clicked with me, like watching his presentation on it. So it's definitely something that I think we're going to implement into our book writing process, you know, and we not really sure how yet, but we know it's going to be in there just because it's definitely clicked with both of us.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't want to steal his thunder or reveal anything before he wants it revealed.
He's probably putting it in the comments right now. So if you listen to this, you can probably, he's like the first person to comment since he lives in England. So he's probably already put something on there.
But he's got some really cool mind mapping initiatives planned for 2018.
Yeah, he does.
And we're really excited to see what he does with that.
Yeah, he had some really, really cool stuff planned that we're excited about that we really think that's geared towards authors, I think will definitely help. So we're really excited about
that. Yeah. So, you know, as we get ready to depart our beloved Crescent City, I want to give one more shout out to Chris, Ryan, Takiri, Chloe, Lori, and Cameron for coming with us and trusting us with their their time and their money. And their time is way more important, I think, but trusting us on this and being part of it again.
Absolutely. It's been an awesome week. You know, it sucks that it's over. It's been an awesome week, and it's just, I'm so thankful for our attendees and that came down here and hang out with us for a week. So,
all right.
So I guess with that, we'll go ahead and wrap the show up for the week. Next week will be as normal. Jay and I will be stuck in the snow in Cleveland.
Let's hope not.
And I'll be back in Nashville. We will be back with another episode of the Career Author Podcast. So thank you, everybody, and we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.